Welcome to Beyond Leading, the podcast that cuts through the noise to get real about leadership, team dynamics, personal growth, and the messy, brilliant reality of work, life, and everything in between. Each episode brings grounded insights, sharp truths, and honest conversations with experienced leaders and coaches as we explore what it really takes to lead well today. We don't deal in one-size-fits-all answers. We spark ideas, offer grounded perspectives, and create space for you to work out what fits your world. So let's get into it. Hello, I'm Alec Pearson. Today, I'm joined by two founders whose story I found fascinating. After facing redundancy, they made the bold decision to go out on their own and build something new. That decision led to the creation of C&D Debt Recovery, a business dedicated to helping companies and individuals recover outstanding debts with professionalism, efficiency, and integrity. My guests are Lizzie Cousins, who brings over 7 years of experience in debt recovery alongside a decade working in London's property sector, and Chelsea Dickinson, who has spent more than 7 years in the industry and has a deep understanding of the challenges business and individuals face when it comes to debt. Together, they've taken what could have been a setback and turned it into a powerful story of resilience, growth, and leadership. So in today's conversation, we'll explore their leap from redundancy to entrepreneurship, how their partnership works, the leadership qualities they've relied on most, and the lessons they've learned along the way. So Lizzie, Chelsea, welcome to Beyond Leading.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, not at all, an absolute pleasure. So let's start at the beginning and that moment of redundancy. How did you both act, and what was the turning point that made you think we can do this ourselves?
First of all, I would say for both of us, it was shock. Not so much in the fact that we were made redundant, just the timing of it. And, you know, I think anybody that gets made redundant, is there's a shock factor. But then very quickly, Chelsea and I started talking, and within a week or two, we've kind of thought, actually, we can do this. You know, it really helped that we had had quite a long period of time in the sector. So just talking it through and kind of realizing, you know what, we can do this. Let's take the leap.
What was the part that came to mind that you thought we can do this? What was that thought?
I think it was because in the previous company that we worked for, and in the role, we pretty much, it's a process, isn't it, with debt recovery? So we were pretty much doing everything within that company anyway.
Yeah, it was a small company, and with us both been there for so long, our roles were obviously bound to change within that 6 and 7 years we were there. So that really worked in our favour. So kind of realising that we've covered all the kind of the big chunks of what is needed in debt recovery, that we could do it ourselves, really.
Yeah. We'd done a bit of everything within the business, hadn't we? So we could put that all together and use that to our advantage.
So what was the very first steps you took then? So you kind of thought, yes, we can do this. Right. What was the first steps then?
So first steps, I think we did a bit of brainstorming, didn't we?
I think we psyched each other up.
Yeah.
And said, you know what, let's do this. Let's go for it. And then kind of brainstorming.
And then we obtained an accountant, didn't we? And just obviously looked at the financial side of things. Also, we looked into legally whether we could do it with obviously having worked for another debt recovery company, just to obviously see if there was anything preventing us on on starting our own debt recovery company up.
Yeah, just in terms of our previous contract, we needed to be sure that there wasn't going to be any sort of breach of contract or anything like that that could be detrimental to actually starting a business. Came to the conclusion, spoke to people, spoke to an accountant, ran it through with people in you know, lawyer friends and family, kind of came to the decision that, yeah, we were fine to go, brainstormed, and then moved forward, really.
Okay. So thinking about your partnership and thinking about teamwork, what made you confident to go into business together?
So we'd worked together for so long. We both knew sort of the business model, didn't we? So we both, again, we both worked in different departments. So we both were confident in each sector of the debt recovery side of things.
But then also personally, the company that we previously worked for was a small company. And so although we were in different departments at times, we kind of bounced off each other and we've always got on really well. And so just taking our kind of partnership from that business into our own wasn't a difficult transition at all, really. Yeah.
So if we think at the time of this recording, you've been working together for just under a year. What is the secret being so far to working well as a co-founder team?
I think we work well because we've got good communication, haven't we?
Yeah, good communication and trust, I would say.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we want the same thing.
Both motivated in the same sort of areas, aren't we?
Yeah. And our kind of motivation about the way we run our business is the same. You know, we want to be as transparent and ethical as possible for our clients, but also for our debtors. You know, you hear about debt recovery companies that go in there all guns blazing and they don't morally, they don't have a backbone. So you hear about that all the time. And that's just something that really kind of leads the way that we do our debt recovery process. But yeah, ultimately, we're on the same page.
So have you had any disagreements so far? And if so, how have you maybe resolved your differences?
I don't think we've had really any disagreements. We've been quite on a good streak.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 8 months and I'm sure in the future there will be disagreements. Oh, yeah. But for now, I think because we have such good communication, you know, we speak to each other every day and it's not like a 10-minute catch up in the morning and then we just crack on. It's kind of like about each case that we're going through. We kind of separate our clients and the cases, but if there's ever any difficulty or you just need a second opinion, we discuss it together and kind of decide what the best course of action might be or potentially how to word a difficult email. You know, sometimes you just need that sounding board, really. It's not that you don't know what you're doing or saying.
It's a bit like brainstorming again, isn't it? Just sort of bouncing ideas off each other.
So would you say that many of your strengths overlap each other, or do you both have different sets of strengths that work well together?
Oh, I'd say it's a mixture, to be honest. I mean, in terms of my previous experience, I've had, 10 years working in London, and then I moved up north, previous jobs up north, and then 7 years in the kind of debt recovery side of it. Now, the property side of it and the debt recovery side, there's a lot of transferable skills. So I kind of bring that. I'd say that We're both sort of people. So I think that really helps because it is a sort of client focused industry, because if you don't collect people's money, then it's not working.
So there needs to be assertive, setting boundaries. So actually we're talking even there, when we're talking about strengths, but we're actually talking about many non-technical skills, which you seem to be discussing, that are really key to this partnership and the business.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we've got the same strengths in that we, in the role. We want the same things, and we are people, but I think we are both
driven,
motivated, kind of don't mess with us. You know, I've had people in the past say, oh, but you know, my debtor is really hardball and he's gonna take you to the cleaners. And I think both of us in different cases, our mentality is just bring it on. I think sometimes people don't give us credit as women. You know, you get these maybe kind of older gentlemen that go, oh, no, it needs to be a man that's doing that if you're going to have a horrible conversation with somebody. And then they're surprised, nicely surprised, by the fact that we've been able to, and we've been able to communicate well and recover money for them, which ultimately that's the goal.
So that leads me on nicely to my next question then. In terms of that mindset, that confidence, what leadership qualities are you leaning on most to achieve what you've been achieving so far?
I think we've both got the same vision. We both want this to be a success and work. Communication, I would say that would be a leadership quality that we've both got. Integrity. So we're both ethical, honest.
I think ultimately it's about managing expectations for each other and also our clients. It's one of those things where in this industry, if you overpromise, and it's so easy to overpromise and say, oh, yeah, that debt's collectible, that's fine, we'll get that collected for you. And then you under deliver, and ultimately you've got a very upset client because they haven't got their money back, and then that kind of for the future, that's not good because they won't recommend you, they don't give you a review.
And you're opening yourself up to issues, really.
So I think communication and integrity are our main kind of leadership styles.
It is interesting. You've mentioned communication quite a few times now. And if you look at a number of teams within businesses, this is one of the big problems where teams start to fall apart, is because there is a complete lack of communication. I also love the fact that you're talking about integrity. You know, you're ethical, you're honest. And again, these are key qualities and traits we need to see in teams, because that's where they typically perform a lot better.
I think
that is the case, and at the moment it's just the two of us. Who knows what will happen in the future, and if we can't be kind of honest, open communication between each other, how are we in the future that
potentially going to run out
going to manage people if we can't have that with each other and with our clients?
So leading on from that, any owner of a new business, there's typically some fears, there's doubts. If you've experienced that, how have you overcome that?
I think it was just taking the leap, wasn't it?
And I think, you know, we have very supportive partners and friends, and you know, they kind of say, oh, this is amazing, you've set up your own business. But I think it is very different setting up as one person as opposed to two. It's been so nice to be able to literally bounce everything off each other in the initial stages of it, kind of saying, what do you think about this? What do you think about our website? What do you think the colour should be? What do you think our name should be? All of that.
It's like added reassurance, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Has there been any new skills that you've had to quickly learn now that you're both running your own business? What, has anything come up in the past few months you went, never thought of that? Or actually, we need to learn about that from a, you know, from a business or leadership perspective?
I think for me anyway, it's not so much the debt recovery process. We are well versed in that, but it's the business side of it. Are we signed up to the correct organizations? Do we have the correct credentials behind us? Are we adhering to data protection? All of that. And we have been asked those questions by potential clients, you know, lawyers who act for other people, like, oh, can you do this? Are you this? Are you that? And luckily, we've been able to say, yes, we are. We tick this box, tick this box. We don't need to tick this box because of X, Y, and Z. So that's been kind of
a bit of a learning curve. Yeah.
That's been a learning curve, but it's also been reassuring in that, so far, touch wood, we have ticked all those boxes.
Yeah, we've done everything correctly.
Yeah.
When it comes to strategy, though, and you think about strategic skills and thinking about at the beginning, you know, what's the first year of this business, our new business, going to look like? Where are we going to be in the next 2 to 3 years? How have you found developing or thinking about strategy on top of everything else you're doing? Because you've had a, you know, pretty much a flying start for your business. But where how did strategic skills and strategic thinking, how did you find that, and what are you doing with it?
We tend to sort of meet up once a week, don't we? And we kind of go through cases and we'll sort of have a big brain dump of where these cases, what needs to be moved forward, and what we've got coming in.
Yeah, it's about being transparent with what we've actually got. And then in terms of growth for the next 12, 24 months, I think our plan is to just keep it small. And, you know, you hear about companies that maybe have one focus and then they try and branch out and they almost do it too soon. And then that becomes their downfall because they've tried to, it's kind of too many branches to kind of try and cover too much. And so we have a process and we are trying to better that process, streamline it, make sure we are excellent at what we do, because we have a number of different clients, you know, businesses, big corporate businesses, smaller businesses, sole traders, and then sort of individuals. And we have to make sure that we can service all of them and give them the best kind of service that we can. And if we, so I think ultimately it's about keeping it small, keeping it condensed.
Of course we want to grow though, but I think within the sort of first year to year and a half, obviously get everything correct.
Yeah.
And make sure we are providing the best service, and then start to look at the next steps in growth.
So what I'm hearing here then is that, you know, the focus, particularly in year one, is to get the foundations in place, but moving one small step at a time so you can control the growth and feel on top of growth. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you hear about companies that grow exponentially in the first 2 years and then or 3 years, but then they burn out. We've started this business because we fully believe that we can do it, but also we have our personal lives as well. And when you work for yourself, you are your own manager. And so
there's no micromanaging, is there?
There's no micromanaging, and we can fit around our families as well. Because this is no longer a kind of 9-to-5 job for us, we need to make sure that it's sustainable, and it's sustainable for a long period of time. You know, we don't want to burn out in 2 years or 5 years' time. We need to make sure that growth is slow and steady.
Yeah.
So just on that, if you think about how much time during a typical week you're working with clients, you're doing the doing work versus leading and being on the business, do you have an approximate percentage?
25% on the business, 75% with clients.
I would probably agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some weeks it's different, but on an average week, I'd say it's that.
And how do you find that split is working for you at the moment, but also how does it help you or hinder you potentially for growing going forward?
Yeah, I think when we're sort of at the stage where we're looking to then, you know, if we have a chat down the line, maybe in the next year, and say, look, now I think we're in the position, we've got everything in line, we need to grow and go forward, then that will change that percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it could change next month, it could change in 6 months' time, you know, but as long as we are flexible and we're on top of the business side as well, you know, we have clients that need to be kept happy. And if we spend too much time on the kind of business side of it, we aren't talking to clients, we aren't bringing in clients.
And we need those to grow the business anyway, so.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of bringing in clients, it's client-facing, but actually that could be seen as the business side of it rather than the client side of it, because they're not clients yet.
I think that's an interesting point you've made, and I think, is this the business owner's dilemma? Because what I see with a lot of my clients who are business owners, they start to spend so much time, as we say, in the business. So they're doing all the stuff for their clients or their product. But when it comes to being on the business, looking at the bigger macro picture, you know, the economy, what's going on, thinking about strategy and going forward, that typically becomes the issue. Like, I can't get time on that. And I come back and say, but how are you going to move forward unless you do?
But I think as long as we are aware of it, it's something that we need to be aware of, and we need to manage that, really. You know, you can't let the business side fall, because like you say, that's what grows the business. But then you can't let the clients and the stop as well. So it's a juggling act, definitely.
And are you going to hold each other accountable to make sure you keep that focus being on the business?
We do, when we meet up once a week, we do kind of go through the business side of things as well.
Yeah.
And we'll go through figures and things like that. So we do sit down and have a good couple of hours chat when we're together.
Yeah.
Just to make sure we are meeting everything.
Okay, so let's think about advice for others. And if someone is listening to this and considering starting their own business, what advice would you give them?
Yeah.
Take the leap.
Just go for it, really. And I would also say, make sure that you've got a support system behind you. I've said before, you know, we've got very supportive partners who kind of, they're kind of like the silent partners in our business. You know, we don't discuss specifics with them, but in terms of getting their insight into
on the business side of things,
it's that's really helpful. And that's one of the key factors to us actually setting up this business, because our partners are so supportive. Yeah.
Again, just thinking back over the past number of months, is there one mistake that you did that you learned early on?
I don't really think we've had any roadblocks, to be fair.
Yeah.
Which we're very fortunate to say. I mean, yeah. I'm sure at some point we will.
I think we haven't, because we've been prepared. You know, it's all well and good jumping in head first, but you have to be prepared. You know, we, like I've said, we spoke to lots of people. We spoke to an accountant. We've
followed the right steps.
Yeah.
To make sure, yeah, everything's in place.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be something in the future.
Yeah.
I'm kind of prepared for that as well. But right now, we've been very lucky.
I think the key word there, you did your homework. You did the preparation.
Yeah.
Because again, sometimes we see, you know, we've got a great business idea. We're excited and motivated by it. We dive in. But actually, if we've done our homework, because sometimes our ideas and what we love to do, but maybe there's no need for it, or we haven't thought about the marketing, or we haven't thought about the strategy. So I love that point you raised there. Be prepared and do the homework. Get the grounding in. And again, we're talking about that foundation. Number one, your business, but actually the foundation to start the business. Can we even get it on a even keel at the beginning?
Absolutely, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you hadn't formed as a partnership, would you have gone into business on your own?
Potentially, I think it would be a lot more daunting, especially now we've had each other to reassure each other and support each other. And looking back, if we did do this, as you know,
I think it would be really difficult for us now to go, okay, I'm going to set up on my own and Chelsea's going to set up on her own. Apart from the whole conflict of interest thing, you know, but I think we work really well together, and I know that I value Chelsea's input into the business and into my cases. It'd be kind of difficult to go without that now.
Yeah, definitely.
So thinking back to the beginning, the fact it has been this partnership has made this transition to, you know, being a co-director or co-owner of a business much easier, but to do it on your own, much more daunting, because you haven't got that accountability. You haven't got that knowledge sharing.
I think ultimately we both need each other to bounce off and to kind of go, have we got this? Have we got this? Have we got this? And then to go, oh, wait, what about this? There's something else. Oh, I've just thought about this. And instead of it being on one person, the fact that it's on two, and you know, when we were setting up the business, it was kind of like, right, today Chelsea's going to do X and Y and Lizzie's going to do 1, 2, 3, you know, and kind of divide and conquer.
I think if we were on our own, we put, because even within the last sort of 8, 9 months, we have grown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the growth would have been a lot slower.
Yeah.
As doing it as individuals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lizzie and Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us in this episode and for sharing your story. I mean, what stood out for me was how redundancy became a springboard, not an ending. How Lizzie and Chelsea's belief in their own capability pushed them forward. We heard about preparation mattered just as much as courage, doing the homework, checking contracts, getting the right support around them, and making sure that the foundations were solid before racing ahead. Their partnership came through strongly, shared values, clear communication, and a commitment to doing things the right way. Ethics, honesty, and integrity weren't just mentioned, they baked into how they operate, and that's already shaping their reputation. And there's something refreshing about their approach to growth. Staying focused, getting excellent at the basics. take steady steps rather than sprinting beyond capacity, and build a business that works for the long term and supports the life they want beyond work. If you're listening and thinking about striking out on your own, their message is simple. Prepare, surround yourself with the right people, and take the leap. Lizzie and Chelsea, thank you again. And until next time. Thank you for listening to Beyond Leading. If this episode was useful, follow or subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and share it with someone who'd appreciate it. And if you've got a minute, a quick rating or review really helps more people find the show.